Last week we looked at Luke chapter 24, and this morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. And before we get there, I just wanted to share a humorous story here that applies. Two cows were grazing in a pasture when a milk truck passed by. On the side of the truck were the words, "Pasteurized, homogenized, standardized, vitamin A added." One cow sighed and said to the other, "Makes you feel kind of inadequate, doesn't it?" Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together freely, without worry or concern or fear, to worship you, to build one another up, to study together, to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning again, I ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts to your truth. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading us into all truth, for illuminating your word. And as we look together into your word, Lord, we thank you that we have it to hold, to read, to study, to pray through, and to allow you to use it to change our lives and conform us to your image. We thank you for all this and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a real quick review of Luke 24. It starts with the resurrection. He is risen. And what amazing news. My favorite time of year is Easter, because we celebrate that resurrection. Jesus is alive. What an amazing truth. And because he lives, we live. Praise the Lord. But the disciples had trouble believing it. First the women had trouble believing. And then the disciples ran to check it out, had trouble believing. Then Luke talks about the two on the road to Emmaus and how they had trouble believing. And it makes me feel okay, because I often have trouble believing too. Faith is like a muscle, or it's described as a muscle that has to be built up and strengthened and continues to grow stronger. And I've certainly found that to be the case in my life, and suspect you probably have as well. So Jesus is walking alongside the two on the way to Emmaus, and he shares with them the truth of the gospel from the scriptures. The only scriptures he had at that point was the Old Testament, but he went through the Old Testament and he showed them, or told them from the scriptures, that all this had to happen, that this is exactly what God foretold. It had happened exactly as it needed to, and they still are struggling with this, but as he breaks bread, their eyes are opened, and they say, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us and opened the scriptures to us?" And I just want to encourage you, if you don't experience this when you're reading the scriptures, ask the Lord to speak to you in such a way that your heart does burn, that you get excited as you're reading the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is in us to do that, to make it real, to bring it out and show us how to apply it to our lives. And so your hearts should burn, or at least can burn. And again, this is not a have to, this is a get to. We don't have to have this experience, but we get to have this experience. It's a privilege, it's a promise that God holds out to us. Jesus then appears to the disciples in the upper room where they're gathered, and he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the God of Peace. He's the author, the source, the completer of our peace. And again, we struggle with anxiety and with worry in the church, and we shouldn't. We don't have to. We get to if we choose to, but we don't have to. Jesus wants to give us peace. He wants to bring us peace. And so he says, "Peace be with you." And they still did not believe because of joy and amazement. They were afraid he was some of your versions say ghost, some say spirit. The word is pneuma, which is normally translated spirit. So he eats to show them that, no, this is really me. I'm alive again. I'm not a spirit. I am flesh and blood. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And again, there's a lot in the scriptures that we don't understand, but we can and should ask the Lord to help us to understand what he is saying to us and how it applies to our lives. Just going to read the last bit of that before we move on into Acts chapter 1. Jesus is speaking. He's just opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and then he told them, this is what is written. And I'm reading this because this is what the gospel is all about. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This again is Jesus is calling to the disciples, but also a privileged opportunity to preach the gospel. The repentance and forgiveness of sins is available because Jesus died and was buried and rose again. You are witnesses of these things, he said. And they saw it with their eyes. They saw it firsthand. And so then they could go and tell people. You and I have seen that in our lives. You and I have seen that in other people's lives. And God gives us, again, the opportunity to go and be witnesses of what he has done in our lives, what he has done in others' lives, and what he says in the scriptures. Again, it's not a have to. It's a get to. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity, but he doesn't force us. Many of us are like those cows. We feel inadequate. We don't think we can do a good job. So let's just leave it for somebody else. I was at that same point, and you probably don't believe it or don't see it, but there was a time when I was scared, so scared up front here that I would tell people, I know I've been here before because the fingernail prints underneath the pulpit fit. And it was literally how I felt. But as I've shared before, the Lord has worked in my life to the point where I'm confident enough in him to get up here and trust that he will say something, not because of me, but because of who he is. He takes a broken vessel like me, or like you, that is inadequate, and he proves how his adequacy is enough to do what he wants to accomplish. What an amazing opportunity we have to be a witness for Jesus. He can take somebody ordinary like you or me and do something like share the gospel and enable us to be a witness. So Acts chapter 1, let's take a look at that now. Luke is writing to Theophilus, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Did you notice? Jesus has been resurrected. He is in his eternal form, the way he is going to be as a resurrected Savior. But he's still giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. While he ministered on earth, it doesn't say it very often, but it does say periodically that the ministry was the Holy Spirit's. It was the Holy Spirit, it was his Father ministering through him. You and I have, again, that same opportunity, that same privilege, that same ability to allow the Holy Spirit, to allow Jesus, to allow the Father to minister through us. But if we're feeling inadequate, we generally say no. And all of us have been there. When the Lord was prompting us to do something, to say something, and we said, find somebody better, Lord. Somebody with all those extra things added to their milk. Because mine is just coming out in ordinary white. Jesus ministered by allowing the Holy Spirit to work and speak through him. We have that same opportunity. And the fact that he chooses to use broken vessels like you and I adds to his glory, adds to the fact that it's God working through us, not us working for him. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Interesting that for 40 days, what he spoke about was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in us. It's within us. It's wherever God reigns as king. And you and I acknowledge God as king when we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And every now and again, we rebel against that and say, not today, Lord. Today, I want to be sitting on the throne. And God has convincing ways of showing us that that's not the best idea. And gets us back off the throne, gets him back on the throne. But we are a part of the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was speaking to the disciples about, was the kingdom of God. It's interesting as we get a little further in how they responded to that. So on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So what's he been talking about for 40 days? The kingdom of God. What are they thinking about? The kingdom of Israel, reigning over the nations around them. Anybody ever had that problem? Jesus is talking this way, and I'm looking this way, and it's not computing? What a patient God we serve. And so he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I mentioned last Sunday, and again, I just want to come back to the fact, what is a witness? A witness is someone who tells what he has or she has seen or heard. That's all a witness does. It's, I saw this, or I heard this, I've read this, this is what I have seen, heard, or read. Doesn't mean that you have to prove that it's true even. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to the person's heart and convinces them that it's true. All we have to do is say, this is what I've heard, seen, or read, this is what I believe, and this is why. Again, it's a privilege. It's not a have to. He doesn't say you have to do this. He says you will receive the power and you will be my witnesses. Now, again, in this case, we come back to those two cows again, and they didn't produce the same milk that came out of the truck. Theirs was probably better, but they took it to a factory and they reduced it down to nothing, and then they added some stuff back to it. And then they added a little bit of extra maybe to make up for what they didn't put back. You and I don't have the capability to produce what the Holy Spirit does. But Jesus is telling these disciples here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Why? Because you've received the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit and his power flowing through us that enables us to witness to who Jesus is and what he has done and what it has done in my life and yours. And when I was in Bible school, I went through the Bible. I took out all the passages about the Holy Spirit. And I tried to make them work together. And I couldn't. I was aware of several different views on who the Holy Spirit was and how the Holy Spirit worked and what the baptism was, what it wasn't, what the filling was, what it wasn't. So I wrote down all the scriptures, and then I compared them to these different views. I couldn't find one view that could put all the scriptures about the Holy Spirit together either. It's just like what we've been talking about in Sunday school for the last several weeks. We try to take an infinite God and put him into a finite mind, and it doesn't work. But we have to feel secure in what we believe and say, so we come up with a theory that includes some of those verses, and everybody else who uses different verses has got to be wrong because I'm always right. Right? Some of you are looking at me like you don't believe me. What I want to say this morning about the Holy Spirit is he is real. And he is bigger than I can understand. And I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit empowers his people for ministry, to be witnesses. That, I can tell you for sure, from the scriptures, is true. And the only thing that I would ask you is, have you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and flowing through you as you share with other people? If you haven't, I don't care what you believe about the Holy Spirit, but I would encourage you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to move in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he came to do, was to empower us to be witnesses. And again, I honestly have a view of what's probably true about the Holy Spirit, and it seems to work in my life, but I can't put all of the scriptures about the Holy Spirit into that view. And so I really don't care what you believe, as long as you are experiencing the Holy Spirit in his power working through you. And if you're not, go to the Lord and say, Lord, why? Let's change this. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me with your Spirit. Work in me through your Holy Spirit. Work through me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a witness who trusts you to be more than enough through this broken, limited vessel. Another humorous story. Two men were riding a bicycle built for two, and they came to a long, steep hill. It took a great deal of struggle for the men to complete what proved to be a very difficult climb. When they got to the top, the man in front turned to the other and said, Boy, that was sure a hard climb. The fellow in back replied, Yes, and if I hadn't kept the brakes on all the way, we would certainly have rolled back down the hill. So I share that because sometimes I think we put the brakes on when the Holy Spirit is trying to take us up the hill. And we say, I don't think we can do this, Lord. At least not me. And we put the brakes on, and the Lord is saying, just trust me. Just so you know, we're in good company, because Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, stir up the gift that is in you, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit that is also in you and I, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Paul tells the Romans that God has not given us a spirit, but a spirit of adoption, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. That spirit of power has come to earth, has come to rest on us if we believe in Jesus. And again, there's different views on how that happens, when that happens. I don't care how or when it happens. As long as you're walking in it, you've got it. And if you aren't walking in it, and you have walked in it, then ask the Lord to stir it up, and you do your part and stir it up as well. And if you've never walked in it, ask the Lord to get it happening. If you, depending on your view, if you need to be baptized, he'll baptize you. If you need just to stir it up, he'll stir it up. If you need to be filled, he'll fill you. Whatever it is that needs to happen, he'll work with you and he'll work with me to get us back walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, or to get us walking there in the first place. That's his promise. That's his desire. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, that's where we come in. We might get to go to Jerusalem, we might get to go to Judea or Samaria, but we certainly are on the way to the ends of the earth. And God wants us to be witnesses empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's a good illustration, I think it's a good illustration, that I'll share with you about how this works, because this was helpful to me anyway. There's a good illustration of faith working and the Holy Spirit working through us, hidden within a tree. The leaves use up nutrients in the process of photosynthesis. As the leaves consume nutrients in the sap, a suction is formed, which draws more sap from the roots. Without the sap, the leaves and branches would die, but the continual flow of this sap comes only as it is used up by the work of the leaf. Likewise, through faith, we draw life from Christ, but a continual supply of fresh spiritual nutrients depends on our willingness to consume the old supply through our acts of obedience and through our works. And so it's as we serve God and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us that we continue to be fruitful. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But if we remain in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. That's a promise. If we remain in him and he remains in us, if we allow the Holy Spirit to flow into us and through us and out to other people, we will bear much fruit. Much fruit, not just a little. Why? Because it doesn't depend on you and I. We are inadequate. We are insufficient, but he is not. All we need to do is say, Lord, here am I. Use me, just like Isaiah did. And look, 66 books came out of that. Or 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah came out of Isaiah saying, Lord, use me. Here am I. And again, I just want to encourage you. If you're feeling inadequate, you don't need to be. Because you are inadequate. But you don't feel that way because the Holy Spirit that God has put in you is more than adequate. Not only to do what he needs to do, but to make up for your lack and mine. And in that process, he gets lifted up and glorified. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. It's interesting to me that the men were standing there looking, which Jesus had actually encouraged them to do while he was walking with them. He said, watch and wait. He told some parables about servants who were taking care of the house for the master. And he said, if they're watching for the master, when he comes back, they'll be ready. But if they ignore that and start misusing their privileges and their position, they will be punished when the master gets back. So we're told to watch, and we're told to wait on the Lord, but we're also told to not keep our eyes fixed only on where he went, but on who he is and the fact that he's coming back. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now we're told in Luke 24 that they also spent time in the temple praising God and worshiping. And now here we're told that they're in the upper room constantly in prayer for 10 days. They spent their time worshiping God, praising him, and praying. Why? Because Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise from the Father, the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God tells us to wait. And sometimes he tells us to get on with business. And again, the most important thing for us to do is learn to hear his voice clearly and respond in obedience. If we're not sure, he will make it. He will confirm his word to us. And I always encourage people, if you're not sure if it's God or not, ask him to clarify it. Ask him to confirm his word. He will. And I have had times when I still wasn't sure, but it was time to leave. And so I walked out the door and I said, Lord, if I'm wrong here, you can stop me. The car doesn't have to run. However you choose, you can stop me. But this, to my best of my knowledge, is what you want me to do, and so I'm going to step forth and do it. There are times when I'm absolutely sure what he wants me to do, and then I don't have to ask for confirmation. I just get at it. But there are times when I'm not sure, and so I always give him the last opportunity to say, nope, you missed me, Mike. The car's not going to start, or something isn't going to work, whatever it may be. And then there's the story of picking Matthias to go along with that. I'd just like to share a few points on prayer that have come up in the last week. Many of you know that I have this little prayer calendar. There's two here that just seem to really fit with this message. So this is by O. Hallisby, who was a well-known speaker and writer quite a while ago. And he said, the more helpless you are, the better you are fitted to pray. And the more answers to prayer you will experience. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. That means we're helpless. We're inadequate. But If we remain in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. The other one is, the great lesson for every prayer is, see to it, first of all, that you commit yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and with entire dependence on him, give him the first place. For through him, your prayer will have a value you cannot imagine, and through him also, you will learn to speak out your desires in the name of Christ. And I'm convinced that if we pray in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he knows what's needed, he knows what God wants to accomplish, and he will lead us in our praying. And I've experienced this, and some of you have as well. And again, it's a promise that the Holy Spirit will lead us as we pray. And then this is from the Daily Bread on Thursday. I was talking about rest, rejuvenating rest. But it applies, I believe, here as well. Those who place their trust in God can depend on his unending presence, unlimited power, and unchanging promises. We can rest in the peace of his sufficiency. I'm just going to read that again. Those who place their trust in God can depend on his unending presence, unlimited power, and unchanging promises. We can rest in the peace of his sufficiency. He's enough. We can be inadequate because he is enough, more than enough. And last, this comes out of a devotional by Charles Stanley. To the degree we're willing to admit our absolute helplessness to do God's work, the Holy Spirit will empower us as we pray. If I think I can handle it, I don't need the Holy Spirit, and he's probably not going to kick in and do his part. But if I admit that I am helpless without Jesus, that without him I can do nothing, then the Holy Spirit does his part, and his power will flow through us. I want to close with a quote from A.B. Simpson, and this has been very helpful to me over the years. A.B. Simpson said, if we only have the Word of God, we will dry up. If we only have the Spirit of God, we will blow up. But if we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we will grow up. A.B. Simpson is the man that God used to start the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination. Just a solid man of God, but something, again, that has really helped me over the years. We always need that balance. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We need his power flowing through us, working through us to cover up our inadequacies and show the adequacy of God. But we also need the Word of God. And so as we read the Word of God with the direction of the Holy Spirit, we grow up and become like Jesus. And Father, thank you that you have seen fit to call us to yourself, to draw us into a relationship with you. Thank you for the faith to trust you, to believe you. Lord, thank you that our faith is growing. We're learning to trust you more. And I pray, Father, for those of us who feel inadequate, that we will realize that that's just fine. Because through our inadequacy, your adequacy shines forth even brighter. Lord, help us to wait until we're sure we have the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and then to step out in faith, trusting you to do what only you can do through us, not because we are anything special or have anything to offer, but because you take delight in working through us, your children, to show who you are and what you are to a hurting world. We give you praise and we give you thanks for including us in what you're doing. You are awesome. And we are so blessed to know you and to allow you to work through us, to be your witnesses to who you are, what you've done, and what you've said. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.